Hi guys, welcome back to the show. My name is Vicky McLeod and this is the Europe is Coming podcast.
Hey, quarterfinals are upon us. John's done a high rocks and your training questions answered. This is Europe is Coming. My name is Vicky McLeod. Let's get to it.
Good morning, John Singleton. Is it Wednesday? It's already Wednesday. It's the middle of April, and I'm happy to see that you're back from your adventures in Cologne. How are you doing?
I'm good. It was a quick turnaround, so it was nice kind of in and out of Cologne.
Shall we start with what you were doing in Cologne?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, we can dive into the weekend.
Have you gone into the dark side, as they say?
Yes, it's been, so I think people are becoming more and more aware. We've been working behind the scenes for, it was probably over 6 months now, looking at within the high rocks world. And Cologne, they have a huge expo, which is FIBO. And within FIBO, where Carmen was going to be going already, Moritz was going, they were running a high rock. So I thought it's a great opportunity for me to kind of throw my hat in and get involved. And I think luckily for me, they'd sold out of individual spots. So I had to sign up for a double. And that was with my, I've known Arne for like many years now. He's like OG CrossFit as well. He went to the games on team, is a great athlete. So we signed up for the doubles together, and it was, you know, it was like really fun in terms of the actual event. But yeah, it's tough. People ask like, what was the hardest part? And for me, it was without question the running. Like, I actually loved every station. I could not wait to get in. Whatever the station was, burpees, lunges, wall balls, it didn't matter. It was just like, as long as I wasn't running anymore, it was good.
I've done a high rocks. I did one in Madrid in 2022 and I broke myself running. I mean, we trained for a long time before that, but even so, doing the actual event, it really was like, it was so hard, and like, you can't underestimate. I mean, it's out, like, it's only 8 rounds of 1 kilometer, but still, and your legs are in bits by the end of it.
Yeah, I think one thing that this is why it's useful to do events. One thing I hadn't really understood or factored in is the course is not like a 400 meter track or, you know, running outside. You actually have a lot of sharp turns and twists. Because of the way they do the course, a lot of the angles, the corners are literally at right angles, and there could be a lot of them on different degrees. You're also having to do sharp turns on the entrance to the stations and on the exits of the stations. So, and also because it's not one loop, it's lots of loops. All these sharp turns, I think, really added up to being significant and something that's important for the athletes. You can't just hold... You can't just go out there and hold your pace. You actually have a lot of acceleration and deceleration within the running. I think that was, one of those nuances in high rocks that was useful to see.
And there's considerable amount of traffic as well.
Yes. I don't know how many people, like what the maximum number of people they have running the loop at one time is. But yeah, you're running with lots of people. But it was really well organized. The judging, I also thought, was really good. Like they check your stations. They don't let you get off before. They're aware of your positioning and will call you up on it. So with that many people, I thought it was excellent. I also felt like an athlete, which I think's a nice experience. Like far from being a competitive high rocks athlete, but even still standing in the booth and being there with all the others and having the countdown, they made you feel special. They made you feel like part of the event. And at the same time, there were some of the best athletes in the world competing that weekend. And I think the experience is actually quite similar for the everyday relative to the elite. And so, it's kind of hats off. I think they've created something and done it very well.
What did you think about your time? Were you happy with it? Was it something that do you suddenly feel like you're going to go and do it again?
Yeah, I'd like to do it again. I think it's a nice little challenge for me. It would get me back into running. I think that probably the possibility that in doubles, pro doubles, we can do sub 1 hour. So that'd be like a nice goal. And it was just the running that's down because of my training recently and work and those things. I really didn't get enough running volume in order to be able to do that.
When did you last compete?
So really, I mean, I've done little things. Like I've done sprint triathlons or just like kind of dip my hat in. So I decided in 2014 that I wouldn't compete in CrossFit again. But I've done the open and those things. But I've not entered a CrossFit competition since 2014. And really, I kind of felt like this was my first live competition experience again since then.
I mean, as a coach, it's important to understand what your athletes are kind of experiencing and going through. So it's like, it's kind of good for you to occasionally do it.
Yeah, I know, I've always loved competing, and I actually, yeah, I think I prefer being on the athlete side of things. It's nice that you're only concerned about yourself. It's a very selfish endeavor.
Mm.
Just care about me, what I'm doing, and not have to worry about anyone else. So that's a nice, very nice to be in that setting. The coaching setting is very different. Like, you're constantly aware. It's weird why I said this before, years ago, but I feel more dedicated as a coach than I did as an athlete. Like, actually, it was more important for me to get a good night's sleep as a coach than it was an athlete, because I knew that if I did badly as an athlete, it just impacted me. Whereas if I did badly as a coach, it impacted other people. So it was like a weird shift in the mindset. But I enjoyed the experience. I mean, if I have to, the points of improvement, I think, would be that actually the communication side of emails that you get, your start list, those things from HYROX, it was a little confusing to work all of that out. So we just put a blog together, hopefully to make that process a little easier. So if people are thinking about doing their first HYROX, we've put like that step-by-step guide together, which I think can just make the first experience a little bit more fluid.
Yeah, a few insights
for
you from your HYROX, and also from quite a lot of people have done, done HYROXes now, so we have lots of experiences that we can gather from.
Yeah, I saw Rob and Silke from CrossFit Mallorca.
Yeah.
They were on their way. Rob on his 11th, so HYROX, which is very impressive.
Done a lot.
It's also, because Rob was always notorious for not enjoying running. So then to switch to HYROX is, like a fun journey for him.
Definitely. And also they have John Wynn, who's the Australian athlete who trains at CrossFit Mallorca, and he was there trying to get one of the qualified spots for the World Champs. He missed it. We were quite sure that he was going to get it because he'd been doing so well recently in his training. But another Australian man, who's called JK, absolutely smashed it. I mean, it was very impressive watching the live stream, thinking that this guy is just head and shoulders above and beyond the rest of the field. So once you've experienced something like that and actually competed at whatever level you count it as competition, then to watch somebody doing something at such a high level is very impressive.
Yeah, the nice thing about it is if you extrapolate it out, they had like other doubles and other competitions, but the top athletes are running. It's twice as quick as Anna and I were, which is pretty crazy to think. Maybe a bit, not quite twice as quick, pushing towards that. And because you've experienced it on the same day, done the same thing, it really builds that appreciation. So yeah, all in all, a good experience. I think we will do more, sign up for a couple. Moritz was, maybe Moritz and I join up for doubles in Hamburg.
Oh yeah. Moritz also famously not that keen on running.
No, exactly. So we'd be good partners.
He's a big unit, is Moritz.
Definitely a unit. So maybe that would be a fun one to do together.
That would be fun to watch, actually, and heckle. So, yeah, so if you're interested in doing HYROX, you guys now have got any HYROX training programs. I mean, does it work from like the total beginner, or do you have to have a level of fitness before you start? Or what would you say is what could you get from those programs?
So what we've actually done is incorporated. So if you're... when you sign up to the program, there's actually levels within that programming, meaning you can be beginner, intermediate, or advanced and get the right level suited to you. So just by signing up to one program, you get all of those options.
Oh, okay. Good job. Now, I imagine the majority of any advice people are going to be receiving is you have to run more if you're a CrossFitter. You just have to get used to adding in more volume.
Yeah, I think you can take it in a few different ways. Like for your everyday CrossFitter, they'll be able to get through, which is nice. But just like anything, if you want to be competitive, you need to run it.
Mm-hmm.
At the top end, it's not just a running event, but for the 99%, it's a running event. Once you start getting to the higher ends, you need to be transitioning well. You need to be able to do all the stations very effectively. But ultimately, like, your buy-in to be able to become at the top is you need to have very good running capabilities.
But you're feeling better today. It's now Wednesday, so it's 4 days since it. So your legs have calmed down, I hope.
Yeah, and look forward to get back into training flow. So we have quarterfinals. We were back, like, just quick turnaround for everything that's been going on. We've had, like, Crown, team quarterfinals, FIBO, now quarterfinals this weekend. So there's been a lot of things going on recently.
Tell me about FIBO. What were you there for?
So I kind of could add in the High Rocks. So that was one of the main reasons that I went, but also just to be there, be with Carmen a bit, who was there. Carmen manages our athletes, speaks to brands, and that's a good meeting point. Arguably, FIBO is mainly focused on the bodybuilding world. Yeah. However, there are CrossFit brands there and people just to meet up. So it's nice to be at those European events.
Good to show your face.
Yeah.
So let's go back in time because we missed our call last week because of technical issues. And we haven't spoken about the team and how well they did in the quarterfinals.
No. You can kind of put guesses on the top teams, but until the teams start competing together, because all the teams are new each year, different collection of athletes, different teams, so you don't know where they're going to place. And C23 program motion did really, really well. It was really nice to see them come together. I think they had some great finishes. I think the leaderboard's been finalized now and they're fourth in Europe. They had some penalties given on a ring muscle up workout just for lockout. But in general, is great performance and a really good start to their time together.
Hey, sorry to interrupt this, but it would be very much appreciated if you'd give our show a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts and even share it with your friends. Thanks so much. Back to the chat.
They must be buzzing.
Yeah, I think they are. The main thing now is going to be getting them together to train. Like, they need to come together and get that teamwork in. That's obviously the big advantage that some teams have who train together, live together, etc. And that's why you've often had these non-elite teams, in the sense they don't have high-level individual athletes, but have done very well on the team setting because they have that training time together.
And how much input are you giving them? Are you involved with them on day by day? Because I know they have another coach as well.
No, so my input's just supportive where I can. I'm relatively far removed. Henrik is the team coach, so he's working the training sessions. Each of them, follows individual program self. Obviously, we have Ella, and then Harrison tends to do his own thing, and then Chris is also there to help out if needed. So I'm a step back from the day to day.
You're just the guiding, the guy with an opinion in the corner.
Yeah, that's probably how I get described.
And now we have coming up individual quarterfinals.
Yes.
An exciting weekend is ahead of us. Is it like the tribes gathering at C23 at the moment?
Yeah, we have a very solid group. Even so much so, we have, it's like Leia, Anaïs. Leia's come over. She's a Swiss athlete living in, she's been living in Mexico for a while. She's come, we've got a couple more Germans. We have a lot of Germans on the island. Like, Coach Dom is coming over. Chris is here. We've got Moritz, Jan, it's John. So, quite the German collection. And we've also got the Swiss Germans with Lair as well. Jacqueline's obviously here and a few more. So it's going to be a busy 4 days. The hope is that the structure's similar to team, which gives us more space and easier to manage. But it's going to be an exciting time. It's a lot more competitive, the individual stage, than the team stage. I would say that the level of nervousness is higher. We weren't necessarily... It wasn't a big concern for the team getting through to semis, which was the primary goal. Whereas with these individuals, we'll have some fringe, we'll have to push. It's going to be it's going to be a challenging weekend. 40 spots from Europe is just not easy.
It's tough. A night. We have, as always, a packed field in Europe. Right. Do we know where the workouts are going to be yet?
No, so 9 o'clock tonight. We will, so it's like 10 hours time or whatever it is. They release all 4 workouts. We'll be putting, so for people who are doing quarterfinals, you can check it out. We're we'll be sharing the links from our social, so you can get our advice, our tips, and those things.
What would be your advice to somebody who hasn't got the benefit of coming to Mallorca and doing quarterfinals in a supportive environment at C23? What would you say to the people that are doing it on their own in their home gym site? Like, what's your top three tips?
I think it's important that, you know, a lot of athletes who are nervous about making and probably tried to repeat quite a lot, but you have to be sensible with the amount of volume that you're doing. You've got a long window. So I think choosing the volume sensibly, not just redoing multiple workouts multiple times, because it could impact on your scores on some of the other workouts. I think watching back your own videos, you know, online judging can be tricky sometimes. So make sure you watch your own videos and the standards are there. You've counted the reps, you know, the lockout's good. I think, you know, as a general tip as well, is submitting the scores. We've seen quite a few athletes who have missed time windows or not followed the standards, like we even saw in team. There's always this. So really just get the videos filmed and sent off, so you know that they're secured. And that's always a horrible thing when you realize you've missed the deadline. And, you know, Yele, for example, a few years ago was probably the most notorious for that, didn't get to compete in the Open just because he forgot to submit. So there's those things. I mean, we will have more specifics once we know the actual workouts. We'll be updating that online.
So for people who want that advice and will need that kind of support, they can find it on Instagram and also at the program's blog, because that is where everything will be going.
Yes.
And are we going to do it the same way we did it with the Open? So all of the coaches are going to give their tips. Is it going to be like a group?
Yeah, it's a bit different because there's no live announcement. Mm. You get all four workouts at once, but we will be collectively editing within the document.
Okay.
But there won't be, we're not going to be doing videos or obviously comparing scores, because we won't have scores at that time to compare. But yes, we will have this collective document that goes out.
So it's not, don't take this the wrong way, it's not just you who's actually involved in this document. You've got the whole program coaching team involved.
Yeah.
So we have lots of input.
Yeah, we have like our quarterfinals group as well, where all our coaches are. So it's very much a collective effort putting all of the information together.
So it's very comprehensive, is what I'm trying to get at, basically. There's a lot of detail that goes into it. Okay, so good luck to all your guys this weekend, and hopefully I'll get to come over and cheer at some point, because it's always fun to watch them throw down.
We actually have Red Bull coming on Saturday morning.
Oh, yeah? What are they going to be doing?
They're going to be giving you Red Bull.
Oh, right.
So they'll be there on Saturday morning at C23, so it'll be a fun time to come down.
All right, come get a free energy drink.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, the last thing was that we started this little section about training questions. So up on stories goes a question, and you can put your training question in, and we will get through them bit by bit. This week's one is from a person called Various Underscore Vertical, and she says, tips for a better front rack position, mobility issues maybe. What do you say?
So struggling with front rack is relatively common. With a lot of movements that we see in CrossFit, you just don't do them on a day-to-day basis. You know, how many people live their life having to go into a front rack position? Very few. And so all of a sudden, then you get to CrossFit and you've got to rack a barbell, and you're like, well, this doesn't feel right, or it doesn't fit. And the big question becomes how you mobilize that. And front rack's an interesting one, because it's really a collection of lots of different movements having to come together. Even some of the top weightlifters really struggle with this. You'll see them when they're warming up with empty barbell. You know, they're like inches off their shoulders because they're so stiff. And for those guys, they just keep putting weight on the bar. And that's the solution, because, you know, they just, as soon as the weight comes, it gives them the mobility in order to get down and be able to hit the front rack. The thing is, in CrossFit, is that you need a good front rack at lighter weights. If we take a workout, something like Jackie, which is row, thrusters, pull-ups, but the thrusters is just with an empty bar. If you don't have good front rack position with just that 15 or 20 kilos, you're really going to be sacrificing movement efficiency, which is really important. So Front rack position is very important for CrossFit, not just at the heavier weights, but at the lighter weights to make the movement more efficient. And really one of the, we have a video on this on our YouTube channel as well. So you can search that. If you search on the program for front rack, it should come up under our channel. However, I find the best thing to do is mobilize in the position of restriction for the front rack because it is so specific. You might actually have relatively good shoulder mobility, relatively good wrist mobility, but it just so happens that in that front rack position, you can't get there. So actually one thing we've done is just like you're going to unrack a front squat, but you put straps onto your wrist and you can stay within the rack. So it's safe. You don't have to step out of the rack. But by putting the straps on, it allows you to get into a fixed position and mobilize there. Doing that for a few sets of 30 seconds, so static in that position with a bit of weight on the barbell, can be really useful just to keep improving that. One thing I would say is because you're pushing into a new movement, you don't need to go crazy at it at the start. You know, it's quite common for people to get sore elbows or sore wrists if they do it too much. So just build up over the weeks of mobilizing in that position of restriction. You know, the first week you might just spend 30 seconds, you then build, if that feels fine, you build to 60, et cetera, et cetera. And with that, you'll find that, you know, eventually the body starts to accommodate and get more flexible.
That's a really excellent answer. Thank you. That says that, like, as you were saying that, I was thinking, well, he knows so much about this. So, okay. So you can go to the program website and search for the video, or you can go on the YouTube account, I guess.
Yes. If you search, probably if you Google the program front rack, it might even make your life easier. I'm going to double check.
Okay, tip top.
Oh, we're on there.
All right, cool.
Yeah, front rack, front squat, and front rack CrossFit tutorial.
Okay, so various vertical. There's your answer. Let us know if that's helping. The other thing is, if you've got comments about the show, anything that you want to send us, any messages, any compliments would be lovely. You can do them. You can either comment on the Spotify program episode that you're listening to now, or you can send us an email to media@program.com, or you can send us a DM on Instagram. That's it, I reckon. You've got to go off and get your gang ready.
Yes.
What are they doing today? Did they have a rest day today?
Yeah, it's a bit independent. Moritz is just doing a little bit of movement. A lot of the athletes are resting. Classic thing with CrossFit, we don't know what's coming.
Mm.
So that makes the stage of planning that, you know, the most optimal thing you can do is make sure the body's rested. That's like the quintessential aspect, because we have no idea what's actually coming, which is different. This is why the HYROX thing is quite interesting, because you've turned this known, unknown and unknowable element of CrossFit into known and knowable. So it's like an interesting difference there.
Well, best of luck. See you on Saturday morning for my free energy drink. Thank you, John.
Thank you, John. Best of luck to everyone doing quarterfinals this weekend. See you next week. Thanks for listening and bye-bye.